Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Today is a great day as we get ready for the National Day of Prayer tomorrow. And my dad has invited to the studio my mom, the chairman of the National Day of Prayer for the last 23 years, also John Bornshein, the vice chair, and this year's honorary chairman, Ann Graham Lotz.
Well, thanks, Ryan, and hello, everyone. Today is April 30th, and tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. It was actually decreed to be the first Thursday in May of each year, and it has been ever since. This is the 63rd annual National Day of Prayer. And as they have been for a number of years, they're held at the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C. So Shirley and I are going to run for an airport in order to be able to be there. And we will be celebrating this very important event as we've done in the past. Last year, there were more than 40,000 prayer gatherings across the United States. And that is the most encouraging thing that's happening in this country, I think. And if there ever was a time when we needed prayer for this nation, this is certainly one of them. Of course, at the time of the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and other times, World War I and II, there have also been great pressing needs that brought the people to their knees in prayer. But this is one of them, because of what's taking place today. And so we have gathered some of the principles of the National Day of Prayer, those that will be in Washington, D.C. Tomorrow. Shirley, of course, is chairman of the National Day of Prayer. This is her 23rd year in this responsibility. And it is exciting every year at this time. Our hearts begin to thump a little bit. I'm sure yours is, Shirley, because of what's coming.
Oh, absolutely. But I count it a great honor to just be a small part in calling this nation to prayer. And when I was asked to take it over, I said, I can do this for 2 or 3 years. But the Lord had his thumb in my back, and every year I pray about it, and he just hasn't released me yet. And to see how he has blessed these prayer gatherings has indeed just been something that I couldn't imagine.
If you'd have known it was going to go on for 23-plus years, it would have scared you to death, wouldn't it?
It would have. I started out, John Bornshein knows this, and he's here with us today, my vice chairman. But I started out with $6,000 and one volunteer, and wondered how I was going to call a nation to prayer. And looking back over these 23 years and noting that we had over 40,000 prayer gatherings last year, and probably more than that tomorrow we'll gather, it's pretty breathtaking.
Well, you mentioned John Bornshein. He's here with us. John, you've been in various positions, but vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer. You've been with the organization for 10 years.
That's right. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. It goes by so fast. And every year it seems to get more and more exciting because of what God is doing coast to coast across this nation. So it's an honor to be a part of it.
Well, we're also very, very blessed to have Mrs. Ann Graham Lotz with us. She's on the phone. And Ann, I'm so delighted that you've joined us today.
You know, Dr. Dobson, it's an honor. Just listening to you all recount the history of the National Day of Prayer, my heart is warmed, and I just thank God for you. God has used you as a tremendous channel of blessing in this nation, so thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Well, you are a big part of it, especially this year. You're the honorary chairperson for the National Day of Prayer, and you'll be giving the keynote address tomorrow in the Cannon House office building. I think most of our listeners are going to know who you are. You are the daughter of Dr. Billy Graham, a man that I revere. He said you're the best preacher in the family, and that's quite a statement. You've written 15 books. You've been on so many television shows. I sort of have either followed you or preceded you in some of those shows, Larry King and many others. And you have a great heart for the Lord, and I don't know anybody who carries a passion for this nation more than you do. And you're a very, very busy lady. Why in the world did you complicate your life by agreeing to serve as the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer?
You know, I don't consider it a complication. I consider it a privilege and a calling, actually. And when your sweet wife originally called me a couple of years ago, and we talked about it, and I looked at my schedule, and I actually couldn't do it specifically when she was asking, but she looked at this year, and I told her at the time, I just felt like God was arranging the timing and that he would have a reason, and I feel very called of God to be a part of this because we're living at such a strategic time in human history, and you and I have talked about it, and Shirley and I have talked about it, and it's just, it is past time for God's people to begin crying out to him. If Jesus doesn't come back, the only hope for our nation is revival and the revival of the hearts of God's people. So to me, when I think of praying for America, I guess I don't have faith to pray that all of America will turn to God, but I do zero in on God's people who are called by God's name, so people who would consider themselves Christians, church members, people like me, actually. So that's where I focus my prayers, and just pray that somehow God in his mercy would wake us up and we would stand in the gap. And as a result, I believe God would bless our entire nation, whether they ever acknowledge us or not. You know, they may not even know that we've stood in the gap for them, but God knows. And that we could be, in fact, one person in a household, the Bible says, can bring blessing to the entire household.
And you are kind of a spiritual physician for this country. I know that you care about that. You pray about it. You analyze it. What is the condition of America spiritually at this time?
I don't know that I could label it or put it in a box. I would say more the church today. And generally speaking, the church is what we would call apostate. It's falling away from the Word of God. And there's some great churches, and I expect you all go to one, I go to one. There are pockets of strong churches across the country, but by and large, if you put all the denominations together and all the churches together, there's just a falling away from the truth of God's Word, a falling away from the gospel, from the fact that Jesus said he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one will come to the Father except through him. There's no other name given under heaven among men where you can be saved, just the name Jesus. And the church, for some reason, is buying into the political correctness of our day and compromising that message. And so, you know, the Bible says when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, then who knows to go to battle? And the trumpet is giving such a muffled sound as it's being, you know, given out by the church that people are confused. And there's so many conflicting things coming out from the church that I think the secular world paints us all with the same brush, and they just shrug their shoulders and think, well, they're just a mess. You know, they quarrel with each other, they don't have a clear message, and they move on to something else. So once again, I feel like our nation is in serious disrepair. In fact, I would say it's morally and spiritually bankrupt. I used to say it was on the verge of that. I actually believe we've plunged over the side into the moral and spiritual bankruptcy. And this is a time, you know, historically, and I know you would know it better than me, but this is when God brings revival. You know, it's often when the church is at its lowest and the nation is at its worst, that's when the Holy Spirit falls and brings revival. So I guess that's my prayer, that God would once again pour out his Spirit before things get to the point there's no turning back.
Well, I just wrote my monthly letter on that subject and said much the same thing that you're saying. I see it too. I see this moral decline, and it grieves me because of the implications for the country that I love. If the Lord tarries and if we continue in this direction, our kids and grandchildren are going to grow up in a world very much farther into moral decline than the world in which we were born.
And almost no morals at all.
Yes.
You know, it's just,
And there's just, at this point, no quick fix. But if there is one, prayer is it. And
Amen.
That's why we're here and what we want to urge God's people to do tomorrow or any time, but especially tomorrow. Shirley, you've got concerns at the same level, don't you?
I really do. One of our very visible Christian leaders said that he feels like God has given up on America except for prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think of the city of Nineveh that was steeped in wickedness and idolatry and immorality such as we are today in America. And God was going to destroy them. And the king, somehow he was enlightened and called for a fast across the land, and people put on sackcloth and ashes and laid prostrate before the Lord, hopefully crying out and asking for forgiveness. And God said he changed his mind. So I agree with this leader. I do think there's very little hope for our nation apart from repentance and prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's why tomorrow is such an important day. And I just encourage everyone across this land, if you can't attend a prayer gathering, pray in your home or pray in your car. The most important thing is to pray.
Mm-hmm. We have slidden into a moral crevasse. John, do you feel the same way?
Well, you know, this is really where the discussion of the difference comes in between the National Day of Prayer from a standpoint of personal prayer and solemn assembly. Because throughout history, we've seen where God has called his people back to prayer. Those who often don't understand the difference will frequently quote Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 23 of personal prayer. But the scripture is filled with references to prayer. In fact, over 355 occurrences of prayer, and the distinguishing factor is the solemn assembly versus the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We
encourage both. And that's what tomorrow is all about.
Tomorrow's about a solemn assembly. We need the people who have personal relationship with Christ, their personal walk in their prayer journey, the Matthew 6 moment, to start coming together as God's people in prayer. In fact, in Joel chapter 1 to 2, in Nehemiah chapter 9, God called all of his people. He says, young and old, the light come out and cry out to me that I would stay my holy hand of judgment. That is what we're asking Americans to do. This is a time for solemn assembly like we've never seen before.
And do you see the possibility of judgment coming down on us?
You know, Dr. Dobson, I believe there would be a good case to be made for the fact that we're already under it.
Yes.
And one of God's judgments in the Old Testament, when people wouldn't pay attention to him, when they wouldn't obey him, they wouldn't listen to his leaders, the prophets that he sent to them, he just withdrew himself, and he withdrew his word. You know, he said there are prophets on every street corner, but a famine of God's word. Mm-hmm. And so judgment doesn't have to be the ground opening up and swallowing you, or a lightning strike, or, a terrorist attack. Judgment can be just a vacuum, sort of, as God removes his hand of blessing. And mm-hmm. And I believe for the entire time America has existed, God has put his hand on us, and our prosperity, our growth, all the things that we've experienced that we think are American ingenuity, I believe are the blessing of God. But as you begin to tell him to get out of the marketplace, the business place, the public place, the government, and you just want to take God out of everything and distance yourself from him, then with tears coming down his cheeks, I would think he would say, if that's what you want, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to insist on going where you don't want me to be. And he'll just withdraw. That's Romans 1. That's the judgment
that
of Romans 1. He just removes his hand.
That's right.
And so that's where I see America. But the fact that we're having this National Day of Prayer, and there are other things that are happening in our country, I don't think that it's too late. That would be my message of hope, I guess, that there still is that opportunity that Shirley was referring to, that Nineveh found when Jonah went there and preached his heart out, and all of Nineveh from the king on down repented, and God stayed his hand of judgment for 120 years. You know, Nineveh went back to prosperity, living a life until in the end, God did judge her, but it postponed the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. And I believe America is at a place where we could postpone his judgment, where we could stay his hand if we would come together in that kind of repentance and turn to him and cry out as John was describing.
Well, there's also great hostility to people of faith today. And every year, the National Day of Prayer is greeted by anger and by efforts to get the courts to limit or even shut it down. It's going on this year, as a matter of fact. And tomorrow, the Colorado Supreme Court, one of the most liberal courts in the entire nation, is going to be hearing a case against governors and political leaders being able to issue proclamations calling for a day of prayer. Before I ask you to comment on that, Shirley, John, every year, every governor has historically signed proclamations calling for prayer.
That's
and
right.
34 out of 44 American presidents the chief executive officers have called for a national day of prayer.
That's right. In fact, 142 calls to prayer by the President of the United States throughout America's history by those 34 presidents, and over 1,200 proclamations have been written by our elected officials calling on the nation's citizens to pray. So this is a nation that is founded in prayer. We are still under God. The last I checked. We are still quoting that as part of our Pledge of Allegiance. It's still on every monument.
Yeah, there's opposition to it,
I know. And to which God are we under? You know, last I checked, when I read the Mayflower Compact of 1620, it was for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That is what this nation was founded upon.
Yeah, but it's being challenged today. Shirley, talk about what's happening. And Mikey Weinstein, who is kind of a professional atheist, and he is given a salary, as I understand it, of over $600,000 a year for a nonprofit organization that he has formed. And its purpose is to limit and oppose the Christian faith, any expression of it in public, especially the military. And he's out there again this year. But there is this case before the Colorado Supreme Court. Talk about that.
Well, the bottom line is that they're trying to squelch a proclamation by the governor of Colorado. Now, he's already issued one for this year, and we thank him so much, but that's what's before the court. So we really need prayer that God would soften their hearts and help them to know the history of our National Day of Prayer, that it was birthed in prayer, that it was founded on the God of the Bible, and that these proclamations have gone back. Well, 1775, our Continental Congress was the first call to national prayer. So, and I feel like if we don't win this case, then it's possible that they'll go after other governors. And what a tragedy that would be. You know, look at Colorado. Who would have thought that we would be the first state to legalize marijuana? I mean, driving on the freeway, you never know if some student or adult is driving in front of you that's stoned. I mean, it takes my breath away to see what has happened here in Colorado. So we really need to win this case, and I ask for prayer from our believers out there.
Mm-hmm. And how arrogant of this court to choose the National Day of Prayer to hear this case, hear the arguments.
I don't think that's any accident. And of course, Mikey Weinstein is trying to prevent any military participation in the National Day of Prayer. And can you imagine? We have our men and women abroad who are getting their legs and arms blown off and coming back in such a wounded state. And they're doing that for our religious freedoms and for our freedom so that we can participate in a National Day of Prayer. And yet he's trying to stop them from being part of it. I just think this is outrageous. If anybody should be prayed for and should be allowed to participate in our National Day of Prayer, it should be the military.
Well, I don't want to give him more credit than he deserves because he has a habit of losing. He loses everywhere. He loses in the courts. He just lost in the Pentagon. They tried to shut down the celebration of prayer in the Pentagon, and he's been overridden. Mm-hmm. He even appealed to the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, so he lost again. But it doesn't matter. He raises money no matter what, and he brings in a huge amount of money. I don't know how much of that, what percentage of it he siphons off for his own salary. But anyway, he is so far not being successful, and I thank God for that.
You know, I applaud our nation's military for standing up to this bully. I mean, far and wide, he's a bigot. He hates Christianity. We know that in John chapter 15, I believe it was verse 8, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And, you know, if we follow the model that our first commander-in-chief gave us, that George Washington, you know, he said it was the duty of all nations to recognize the providence of Almighty God. When they called for fasting and prayer, it was something serious. That's why the National Day of Prayer for years was called the National Day of Humiliation fasting, and prayer, because they knew it was a solemn assembly. According to George Washington's notes, he says, "I went to church and fasted all day." That was our commander in chief. So I applaud the military for standing out.
And you mentioned repentance earlier. That's a portion of scripture that's often eliminated from many of today's sermons and much of what the church stands for. Explain what it is and why it's needed.
Repentance is an acknowledgement that you have sinned or that you're separated from God, and it's a turning away from that sin, turning away from the self-centeredness in order to turn back to God. And so it's a reversal. Like if you're going to Denver and you turn your car around, you go back to Colorado Springs, you know, that's repentance. You just turn around. And so repentance is turning around and acknowledging that you're going in the wrong direction and you want to turn around and go back in a different direction. So spiritually, that would be just acknowledging your sin and your need to be cleansed and forgiven and come back to God and do things His way instead of insisting on doing it our way. And the interesting thing is that repentance is actually the key that unlocks revival. Mm-hmm. So as long as we hang on to our sin and our pride and our stubbornness and point our finger at everybody else and say it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, you know, and we don't look at ourselves, then I'm not sure we're going to have revival, because the key to revival and the fullness of God's blessing is repentance and just coming humbly before Him and acknowledging that we need Him. And I would like to comment on John's what he's just shared and what you just shared, because, you know, everywhere I go and people know that I'm the honorary chair for this year, and people are affirming me. And so I think sometimes it's the negative ones that get all the press and
yes.
the mm-hmm. people who are attacking and doing such horrible things. And they're really, it's not the National Day of Prayer. They really hate Jesus. They're anti-Christ. There's a spirit of anti-Christ in the world today that's just horrific. But people on the street and the people that at least I talk to as I travel or bump into the airport or at the grocery store, they know what I'm involved in, they applaud it and they're thrilled, and whether they're in a group or not, they're going to be praying tomorrow. So I think there's a strong grassroots, or at least I pray there is, a strong grassroots movement that you would never read about in the media. You would never read about it or even hear about it on some of these news shows. But I think it's out there. And I think there are many, many people that will be joining us in prayer tomorrow that we won't hear about, we won't know about, we don't know their names. But I think they're out there and they're praying. And God, in His mercy and grace, I pray, will hear our prayer and forgive our sin. And as a result, He'll heal America and bless her.
Well, I hope as a result of our conversation today, and we're going to continue this tomorrow by tape, we will let people hear what we're saying here earlier. But Shirley, what is the theme for the National Day of Prayer this year?
One voice, united in prayer. And we based it on the scripture from Romans 15:6, which says, "And so with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this prayer service is being broadcast tomorrow all around the world, not just here in this nation. And so although we're in many different places, with one voice, we are going to come together and glorify God and pray for America.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. And John, it is your hope and prayer that every person who's listening to us today will have their hearts pricked, as the scriptures,
right.
I think that's scriptural, will be moved to participate. Everybody's busy. Nobody has the time to set aside to pray. At least they don't think they do.
That's
right. And yet this is priority, and tomorrow is the day. I mean, they pray all year round, I hope, but National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May of each year,
That's right.
is the day set aside for this purpose.
You know, and it's all day long. All day, people have an opportunity to join with millions of Americans in prayer. And they can go to our website, nationaldayofprayer.org, and they can find an event in their area. They can also find a lot of other ways they can join with us via prayer calls, even watching the events live on television. So there's a number of ways we look forward to joining with them in prayer.
Well, we've been talking to Mrs. Ann Graham Lotz, our great friend, prayer warrior and evangelist. My father was an evangelist, Ann, and so I really want to start our continuing conversation after we're off the air today with asking you to talk about revival and what it means. But thank you for accepting this responsibility as honorary chairman and the keynote speaker for the National Day of Prayer at the Cannon House office building tomorrow. I hope there will be a huge outpouring and a turnout. Every year, people are lined up clear down the hall, aren't they?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Standing room only.
Yes. And there are other events taking place there we don't have time to talk about. Shirley, thank you for 23 years. I've watched you grow. I know your heart for the Lord. And that touches me, I think, more than anything else in our married life. 54, almost 54 years now, has been the growth of your prayer life and your love for the Lord, and you're now expressing it across the nation. John, thank you for your work. We're out of time, got to go, but don't move because we're going to continue to talk. Thank you, Ann.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you all for listening. For more information on the National Day of Prayer and for events in your area, please visit drjamesdobson.org and look for the link. God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.